Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Kenneth Briggs, who writes for the National Catholic Reporter. He's a professor at Lafayette College and a former New York Times religion editor, and is the author of Power of Forgiveness and Double Crossed, Uncovering the Catholic Church's Betrayal of American Nuns. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kenneth Briggs.
Thank you very much.
And I imagine a lot of liberal Catholics in the United States who welcomed this new pope and saw him washing the feet of the poor, etc. Maybe they're having second thoughts now that the Vatican issued a statement on Monday that Pope Francis had reaffirmed the doctrine and evaluation and criticism of the U.S. nuns made by his predecessor, Pope Benedict, charging the nuns with promoting radical feminist themes and ignoring the Vatican's hard line on same-sex marriage and abortion.
Yes, after according the new pope, a great deal of goodwill. This is the first real card that he has played, and certainly in terms of a major issue, and a lot of Catholics, I'm sure, are just sorely disappointed. At least the initial reports are that there's a great deal of discouragement and. I wouldn't say disillusion yet, because there's still some cushion of celebration and acceptance and likability that hasn't gone away, but a great deal of disappointment that this has gone so apparently negatively toward the original judgment.
And the Leadership Conference of Women Religious represent 57,000 Catholic sisters, which is 80% of all U.S. nuns, and they have met with the new head of the Vatican's doctrinal watchdog group, the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, from which the previous Pope, Pope Benedict, came. One of the things that I had learned recently, and I'd like to get more information on, Kenneth Briggs, from an interview I did with Matthew Fox, the Catholic theologian who was hounded out of his order by Ratzinger when he was in charge of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. And he said that a lot of this is to do with the fact that the German church is extremely conservative but very powerful, because they're the biggest contributors of money to the Vatican. And so now you have this new Archbishop Gerhard Ludwig Müller as the head of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, and you have this new pope, Pope Francis, having gone to Germany quite late in his life to study. Is there a connection there? Are we talking about a kind of clique within the Vatican?
I think it's true to say that that Germany has been a very strong theological center and source of thinking for many, many decades. I wouldn't characterize the general church as being so conservative. I think the mixture is fairly strong between a rather hearty liberalism and a certain degree of conservatism. I think it's more in terms of continuing to reinforce the previous decisions of popes. The number one rule in the papacy would seem, on the basis of history, to be thou shalt never contradict a major policy of a previous pope. And that seems to be taking place right now. However, it's also fair to say that it may be consistent with a fair judgment on the part of the Vatican that the sisters, in fact, are in disagreement with the Vatican over key teachings such as women's ordination and a number of the sexual issues, disagreement does exist, and that judgment may be fair. However, there is accompanying method of operation and style of accusation that raises great objections, primarily around this notion that this represents, the disagreements represent, a kind of radical secular feminism to which most nuns, I think, would take great exception. Most American Catholics would take great exception.
So when you say that popes don't contradict doctrines of their predecessors and that they carry on and there's a continuity there, isn't that kind of contradicted, though, by what happened to Vatican II, in particular Pope John Paul? Almost, if he didn't ignore it, he certainly did everything he could to sidetrack it, and it seems to have been stalled ever since.
That's a very good point that points to the special function of a Vatican Council, which don't happen very often. But within the history of the Church, Church councils, which are made up of all the bishops of the world gathered together, has an authority equal to or superior to the Pope itself, to the papacy itself. And Vatican II was summoned by Pope John the 23rd as a way of looking at the Church and deciding policy. In that sense, the Second Vatican Council had a degree of authority that matches a great deal of papal authority, so that it came about that way. And even though it turned the direction of the Church a great deal in terms of policy, attitudes toward all sorts of things, including the whole world, it did so under authority that had come through the Church's own tradition. In that sense, it would not have been the Pope himself contradicting previous popes, but calling for a council that then went ahead and made certain decisions that took off in another direction.
So obviously it's early now, early days to assess this new Pope, and his arrival on the scene was greeted as a refreshing change, that he was a humble man who took the bus and cooked for himself, and he's shown some examples of humility. But his past in Argentina has been vigorously denied by the new head of Vatican Radio, who is a Jesuit and has been quite outspoken in terms of that the Pope bears no responsibility or had no collusion with the generals who committed genocide against their own people. Do you think that that has been thoroughly answered? Because a lot of people don't.
I think there will be a lingering set of questions around that behavior, namely that even though there may have not been collusion, the questions will center on whether enough was done to resist the dictatorship and the regime that occupied Argentina at the time. And again, to the character of the Pope, he is a very appealing personality. He's won many friends through style. The question is, on matters of substance, would he follow through and give vigorous opposition by taking initiatives that would seem to set the Church in another direction? And in this case, primarily along the lines of how the Church looks at women and their roles, both within society and the Church. And so that's where the questions come. Is he a placeholder who is friendly and appealing and approachable, but one who does not touch matters of substance, or will he have another dimension to him where that carries through in a kind of liberalizing of certain policies? So far, there has not been an indication of that. It's awfully early yet to see. But the style implies a kind of different form of papacy that would have a different approach to issues, that would be, it would seem more liberal, but that's not necessarily the case, because he could easily be one who affirms everything that has come to him in terms of Church policy, while showing a very friendly, appealing face to the world.
Well, you were quoted, Kenneth Briggs, recently in the Los Angeles Times, saying it seems like the Vatican has put a more appealing salesman in charge of the same old product.
That largely seems to be the case right now, that that matters that really rub against so many American Catholics in particular, matters of sexuality, but not exclusively sexuality, and dealing with the place of women within the realm of the church, those issues are yet to be propounded in some direct way. And this is the first sign that there may not be any budging, that they may be the same package that's being offered to the American Catholic public by a different salesman, as it were.
Well, when the previous pope went after the American nuns, there was a real pushback, particularly from James Martin, a Jesuit priest who's editor of Americana magazine, and he was quoted in the Daily Beast at the time saying, "For many Catholics, sisters are the glue that holds the church together." And he is, you know, basically saying, in terms of this new pope, since the new pope's a Jesuit, he's saying, well, you know, maybe we should just wait and see whether there will be at some point later a sympathetic hearing. But do they understand in the Vatican what Father Martin's point is, that the nuns are the glue? And I remember at the time when the healthcare, Obamacare, came down to the wire and there was one key vote and it looked like it may go down, and the nuns intervened on this apparently very devout Catholic Democrat who was key to the vote, and he changed his mind. And he was, of course, being lobbied by the bishops in this country who seemed to be resolutely Republican and incredibly conservative. I mean, that's just a personal opinion, that the nuns seem to be more on the side of the example, if you will, of Jesus Christ.
I think this whole incident and the both ill-timed and ill-conducted attack against the American nuns by the Vatican stirred up something that has a both negative and positive dimension to it. The negative one is that it was an attack such as it was. The positive was it awakened American Catholics to the enormous contribution that nuns had made to the church. The nuns had, in effect, carried the church's tradition from generation to generation by having the most immediate and sustained contact with ordinary Catholics, with anyone in the church. And I think what has happened is that there's been a kind of belated, gigantic thank you to the sisters and a rallying to their side because of the memory of the sisters' contribution to their lives and the lives of previous Catholics. So, yes, the glue part, I think, is quite correct. There's no denying, however, that nuns, many nuns, and not all nuns, of course, have come to see Catholicism in a different way that dissents from Vatican-approved theology and ways of looking at things, and that even as they've been doing heroic service for the Church, they have been liable and likely to change their theological outlook and be more attuned to current trends within theology and within their own thinking. As a result, we get sisters who, in effect, are very much attuned to the times, the way the Vatican Council said they were supposed to be, and continuing to do great service. One part accords well with the Vatican, the other part doesn't. So the Vatican is ready to bend over backwards to praise nuns along with the great American uproar in favor of the nuns, saying that they do deserve credit while not liking the thinking that's going on and the dissent that's arisen in that pathway.
But there does appear to be, Kenneth Briggs, a real division and divide here, and it's very apparent at the political level. Sister Simone Campbell, for example, spoke at the Democratic Convention. Most of the Catholic bishops oppose this White House. They've gone on this jihad against the health care bill, suggesting that somehow it's pro-abortion when there's absolutely no substance to that charge. And there is, of course, a longstanding law banning federal funds for abortion. And you've got these incredibly conservative Catholics on the Supreme Court, in Scalia, Thomas, and Kennedy. Well, no, Kennedy's kind of a swing vote, but Scalia, Thomas, Alito, and Roberts. So there seems to be two different worlds here. And is it to do with the fact that the women are second-class citizens? They can't be ordained, that they're the kind of worker bees. They're like the secretaries in Mad Men, you know, whereas the executives are all these people living in this sort of hallowed world of ritual and sanctity.
I think there's a great deal to that. And while I wouldn't say it's entirely male-female polemical, it is to a great extent a sign of the vast difference between the assertion of male leadership authority and perspective that tends has formed the basis of the dogma and doctrine of the church, and a perspective that has that is rising up and has risen up from women who bring a very different perspective and witness to what Catholicism means in the lives of Catholics, and that whole half or more than half of Catholicism that is shut out of the ordained ministry of the Catholic Church and out of the decision-making of the Catholic Church, including nuns, who, of course, are lay people and are shut out of the decision-making process. They have no role in the church's official authority lines at all. And so you do get this now bubbling up of an outlook, a point of view that is that has many elements of women's experiences living the faith in the world that has not been part and parcel of the church's highest realms of leadership. And so that's where a lot of the tension does arise, I believe.
Well, just in closing, Kenneth Briggs, is there early indications are that this new pope may well be the same as the old pope in terms of doctrine. When will we know whether or not the nuns are going to be really censured? They have the bishop in Seattle has been put in charge of this inquiry into the errant nature of American nuns' activity. And you've got the new head of the doctrine, the German Archbishop Gerhard Ludwig Müller, watching over his shoulder. What's your sense of when we'll know one way or the other whether this jihad, if you will, against the nuns is going to continue?
I think it will have somewhat to do with the orders that come down as to how this is supposed to be implemented. I think the indictment of the particularly the leadership conference of women religious that they have been in dissent against theology, I think that'll remain. And meanwhile, the sisters do not acknowledge that they are in dissent, and that becomes a problem that needs some more clarity. But then the implementation process, which includes a mandate to reform what is what they're accused of being as radical feminists, requires a much tougher sense of discipline and reform. Whether this pope will signal that the discipline and the reform has to go on as it has in order to clear this up, it remains to be seen.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Kenneth Briggs.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Kenneth Briggs, who writes for the National Catholic Reporter. He's a professor at Lafayette College and a former New York Times religion editor, and is the author of Power of Forgiveness and Double Crossed, Uncovering the Catholic Church's Betrayal of American Nuns. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.